name is Anne Reed. I am a Mercy Associate, which means that I have a non-vowed commitment to Mercy. And now I'd like to tell you a little bit about Catherine McAuley's connection to William and Catherine Callahan, the couple who made so much possible for Catherine and for Mercy. In 1798, Catherine McAuley's mother, Eleanor, died. And when Eleanor died, there was very little money left. In fact, we wonder, was there any money left at all? So the family, Catherine, her sister Mary, and her younger brother James, were really in poverty. Their home was gone, so they were homeless. But what happened was Mary and James went to live with a couple called Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong, and we do believe that they were distant relatives of the mother, Eleanor. Now, Catherine was also invited to go there, but she made a decision that she would go and live with her uncle, Owen Conway, because it was a Catholic environment. You see, the Armstrongs were Protestant, and Catherine wanted to live in a Catholic environment. So the family were split up, Mary and James living with the Armstrongs, and Catherine living with her uncle, Owen Conway. Now, she was happy living with her uncle Owen while she was grieving the death of her mom. She was happy to be in the environment that she was in. However, in a short time, the Conway household suffered poverty because Uncle Owen was declared bankrupt and lost everything. So it was decision time for Catherine. She had to decide what she was going to do. She didn't want to be an extra mouth to feed for the family. She didn't want to bring any more suffering on them. So while they didn't want this to happen, Catherine made a decision to go and live with her brother and her sister, who were living with the Armstrongs, in Mary Street in Dublin. Now, at that time, Mary Street was the home of the Apothecaries Hall, which was the regulatory body for the medical profession at the time. And Mr. Armstrong was, at that particular time, the governor. So he had premises, he had living accommodation either above or beside the Apothecaries Hall. Across the street from where they lived and where the Apothecaries Hall was, lived a couple called Callahans. Now, Mr. Callahan, William Callahan, and his wife Catherine had returned from India to live in Ireland. They were both Irish. We don't know exactly where either of them were born, but they were Irish, lived in India for many, many years. He was an apothecary, and so came to live in Mary Street, opposite the Apothecaries Hall. Now, he had a lot of money invested in the Apothecaries Hall, and over his 22 years of connection to the Apothecaries Hall, he was on many occasions governor, he was the treasurer, and also he was secretary. So he was very well got, as we say in Ireland, with the Apothecaries Hall. And he also had money invested in it. So there you have the Armstrongs on one side of the street and the Callahans on the other, friends with each other, business partners, if you like. And so they would have been entertaining each other in Callahan's house or in Armstrong's house, and they got to know Catherine McAuley. And anybody who gets to know Catherine McAuley has to take a shine to her. And the Callahans took a great shine to Catherine. No wonder. A beautiful, gentle, compassionate woman. And Catherine was now only in her early 20s, so she would have been beautiful as well. So a very attractive young woman. So they invited Catherine to come across the street to live with them and to be a companion to Mrs. Callahan. Now, Catherine was very happy about that because really, when we look at it, we could say that Catherine was offered a job. So Catherine crossed the street to live with the Callahans, and as the days and the months and the years went by, they grew to love her more every day. She was a great companion to Catherine Callahan and an extraordinary friend to William Callahan, as they were to her. We're talking now about the early 1800s. And at that time in Ireland, we were living in a time of difficulty, but this was particularly a difficult time. It was the time of the United Irishmen, the Wolfetone Rebellion, and it was very difficult and dangerous for Protestant couples, living in the city. They were in fear of being burnt out or, worse than that, losing their lives. So Mr. and Mrs. Callahan made a decision to leave the city for that reason, and another reason being Mrs. Callahan was not very well. She had what they called a lingering illness, and so it was good for her health to move out of the city. So they moved out to a place called Coolock. Coolock being about 6 miles from the city. In those days, that was like another world. It was countryside, beautiful countryside with beautiful land. So they bought a Georgian house, a six-bedroomed Georgian house, with 22 acres of land surrounding it. So off they went. Catherine probably a little reluctant in the beginning to go because she had a ministry to the poor in the city, but she need not have worried at all because Callahans were such generous people. They made available all their resources to Catherine so that she could visit the poor in the city as well as visiting the poor in Coolock. So life in Coolock for the Callahans with Catherine, who really was the daughter they never had, was very peaceful and quiet and gentle, and they became great friends. And in time, Catherine really became mistress of the house because Mrs. Callahan, not being a well woman, was unable to be the mistress of the house. So Catherine took on that role and did it very beautifully and very well. And Mrs. Callahan, being a very ill woman, Catherine spent a lot of time with her and nursed her to the end. And Catherine Callahan died in 1818, but before she died, something extraordinary happened, really, and it was that she converted to Catholicism, and the reason being that she saw in Catherine something very special. She wanted what Catherine had, and she converted. When Mrs. Callahan died, Catherine and William Callahan became even closer friends. She took care of a lot of his business, did his books, and was more than a daughter to him. She was like a business partner. And before he died, he made a will. And he made a will in January of 1822. Now, he died in the November of that year, but he made his will in 1822. And in the will, he made some bequests to various different people, including one to Catherine's brother. And he left the residue to Catherine and his niece. However, very shortly after he had written the will, he overheard a conversation which led him to change his will. It was between this niece and her husband, and what he overheard he certainly didn't like, because he heard them say that when he would die, Catherine Macaulay would be out of the place. So he changed his will, he wrote a codicil, and he left the residue to Catherine. So when he died in November of 1822, Catherine became the sole beneficiary of the residue of William Callahan's will. In 2007, let me say, the Retail Price Index said that the fortune that Catherine was left was 2.1 million. Today, 15, 16 years later, God only knows what that would be. Catherine was left a fortune. And it made possible for her to fulfill her dream. And her dream always was that if ever she came into money, she would buy a little house where she could look after poor women and children. So little did Catherine know that she could buy a big site and build a big house and look after many women and many children. So we are always grateful to the gift of the Callahans, the gift of themselves to Catherine, the gift of their love and their generosity to her, and their generosity to what they made possible for Mercy.